Good evening. It's good to see the number that we have with us. We have a few visitors with us, and we're thankful for your presence as well. I invite you to please pull out your Bibles. I'm not going to give you a scripture quite yet. But go ahead and pull out your Bibles and keep them handy. We have several passages to consider this evening in regards to the lesson that we're going to be talking about. I always consider it a blessing and an opportunity that I have to put these lessons together and to share God's Word with you. And so I invite you to please follow along this evening. Oftentimes in our lives, there are times that we struggle. There's things in our life, maybe with work, maybe with school. Maybe there's family relationships that may not be the best. Maybe there's friend relationships that aren't the best. Sometimes we can get discouraged or get down by these things. Sometimes we feel like we're the only one that's struggling with this. We're walking alone. We have no help. And sometimes we can get really in a depression almost sometimes. We get discouraged. Oftentimes we need encouragement. So this lesson this evening is designed to encourage every one of us. And I hope we can all benefit from it this evening. You know, there's great examples in the Bible, Jesus being one of the best, and I think many the best, but many of his parables oftentimes you can catch in there the fact that he's trying to encourage or to persuade individuals to do what's right. And we have a couple examples that we want to talk about this evening and some other passages to consider. But before we do that, what does encouragement mean? In the Bynes Compository Dictionary, it defines encouragement to exhort, or to persuade, to comfort, to console, calling to one's aid, to encourage. So oftentimes you consider that for a moment. Individuals that are struggling with things, they need comfort, right? There's a certain comfort that they need in order to get out of the depression or whatever state they're in. Who best to do that than their brothers and sisters in Christ? We, as a family, as we've been considering in Romans, that we have all been adopted by God. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have chose to serve God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. And so we are told to encourage one another, to build one another up for God. A couple examples this evening. And the first example comes from Acts chapter 4. He's considered to be the son of encouragement. They titled him the son of encouragement, and yet we're talking about Barnabas. If you turn over to Acts chapter 4 for just a moment. In Acts chapter 4, let's begin reading here in verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land and houses would sell them, and bring the proceeds of the sales, and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they would be distributed to each as they had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. The first sign here, the first incidents here with Barnabas. Barnabas truly does show encouragement or care for others. When others who are in need, and they'll collect these earnings from these individuals that are selling their property or possessions, laying at the apostles' feet, Barnabas took action. He's seen this as an opportunity to serve. And that's exactly what he did. He sold a piece of property and laid the money at the apostles' feet. We also see Barnabas interacting with Paul. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. You see, Paul, shortly after he's converted, the congregation there at Jerusalem, they were nervous about Paul. They said, whoa. Was this not the man that put Christians to death? Was this not the individual that crucified individuals that were proclaiming Jesus Christ? And he wants to come and be with us? But what did Barnabas do? Well, let's read here. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 starting. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to them. And how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. We see here Barnabas encouraging these individuals or persuading them to understand, hey, Paul is who he is. Paul is now proclaiming Jesus Christ. Paul is now proclaiming Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 11, just a couple passages over. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 23... starting in verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to what? Encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Paul, or Barnabas here, was encouraging those who were Christians to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas, a great example. I know it's just a few verses and there's many others, but Barnabas wanted to encourage these individuals to stay true to the Lord. Well, let's consider Paul. In just about every letter that he wrote was some sort of encouragement in that letter. Encouraging the individuals to get out of sin. Or to encourage the individuals that he is with them and that he is praying for them and to encourage them to stay true to the Lord. Consider Acts chapter 14 though. This is a time that Paul was persecuted. Jesus said, you are going to suffer. He tells all of us that we are going to suffer for Christ. But here Paul truly does come in to some persecution. Let's read beginning here in verse 19 of Acts chapter 14. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now let's pause there for a moment. If it was any one of us, and this was to happen to us, now we see here in a moment, if we read in the next verse, that Paul was not dead. But if this happened to us, would we be out of position to do what Paul is about to do? Or would we get up and flee, not wishing to suffer any more persecution? Well, Paul had something in mind. He was not alone in the battle for Christ. Paul knew that there were other individuals that very likely could have been afraid for Paul. And maybe even scared in the fact that, hey, we're doing the same thing. We're serving Christ. And if this happened to Paul, could this happen to us? What did Paul do? Well, let's continue reading here. Begin reading here in verse 20. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after that he preached the gospel to that city, and he made many disciples. And he returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Paul made it a point not to give up on Christ. He understood he was going to suffer. In fact, he told these other disciples, many tribulations. We're going to have many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. Paul encouraged these individuals. Paul was left for dead, but yet he still had these other individuals in mind. He had the work of the Lord at the forefront of his mind, knowing that he needed to get to work. Not to read it, but in Acts chapter 27, we see there at the ship. And Paul is on the ship with some about 250 individuals or so. And here, these individuals, the storm starts to toss them. And the ship starts to toss. And they're afraid. And they think that we need to start sending things overboard, even prisoners. But Paul says, take courage. Because Paul sees an angel come to him. And says that you're going to be okay and everyone else is going to be okay. And Paul says, take courage. Paul trusted in the Lord, and I think at the same time he was trying to tell them, you need to trust in the Lord too. God is going to protect all of us. God is going to keep us all safe. Take courage. He also, if you turn over to Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, we'll read verse 11 and 12 here. Paul understood the importance of yes, receiving encouragement, but also giving encouragement at the same time. In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 11, "For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." Paul had the desire to be with these Christians, to be with them and to teach them and to encourage them, but also at the same time to gain encouragement. I think oftentimes when we sit back idle, and we might be struggling with things, and we're thinking, man, if like so and so going to visit me, or am I going to be encouraged today? Anyone going to help me? Me. There's a need to encourage, and in encouraging others, we can be encouraged. It's a strength that comes within itself. We need to act upon this, and I think Paul understood that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His kingdom and glory." And so see, here Paul is encouraging these individuals to walk worthy of God. And then also Acts chapter 13 and verse 43. It says there, Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. They're still encouraging these individuals to stand for God. There's just a few verses there in regards to Paul and Barnabas, just to show us that these individuals are individuals that we can actually look to. We see these individuals, and they had a heart for God. They had a heart for others and to individuals, and they wanted to serve them and to encourage them. They seen that that work was needed to be done. But why? Why is encouraging others so important? We shouldn't be sitting idle waiting for others to come and help us. We need to be searching for others. We need to be searching for individuals that are struggling. We need to encourage them. God tells us that we need to do that. The writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, where the scripture reading came from this evening. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says there, "But take courage one another, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." There in Hebrews it says, encourage one another so we don't fall into the trap of deceitfulness of sin. When you look at an individual, do you just simply see a person? Or do you see a soul? There's a soul within every one of us. And it's important to understand that that soul can fall into temptation. That soul can sin. That soul needs encouragement to stay out of that sin. And we might ask ourselves, we might see someone struggling, and we can say, like, he's struggling with this. Maybe it's somebody that has an issue with alcohol and they're drinking. And they're struggling with this, and I do not understand why this person has such a problem. We don't all have the same issues. We don't all have the same problems or the weaknesses. We all fall into different temptations. Satan knows our weakness and he searches them out. And oftentimes, he finds them. Each person has a soul, and that soul needs encouragement in order to not fall into that temptation. It's where we're a family. We are to encourage one another. We are to build one another up to fight for Christ. This is something that God wants us to do. Brothers and sisters need spiritual strength. You know, Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. Just walk with Him. In fact, He says the exact opposite. That we are going to be hated by the world just as He was. In John chapter 15, He tells His disciples that you're not of the world. You've been brought out of the world. And the world is going to hate you. They've hated Him first, but now they're going to hate you because you are not of the world. You have changed. In John chapter 15 and verse 18 starting, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated Me before it has hated you. And if you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they kept My word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for My name's sake, because they do not know the One who has sent Me. The world is the walk on this earth is not going to be easy. As we stand for Christ, we're going to suffer persecution and we are going to get discouraged. And so, for those of us that might be able to stand a little bit stronger, and we can stand against these deceitfulnesses of sin. I'm not saying we're perfect. When we look out and we try, and what we try to do is to encourage one another just as we all should. It's not going to be easy. We're all going to struggle with things. But we need each other. Without each other, we cannot stand for God. We need the encouragement of one another. That's why God tells us to encourage and to build one another up. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. But for those who stand for God, for those who know that the world hates them, but we continue to fight the fight of Christ and we stand for God, here in Matthew chapter 10, it's worth it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, it says, "For you will be hated by all because of My name, but it is the One who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you, the one city flee to the next. For I truly say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes." Verse 22 there, it says, "But it is the One who has endured to the end who will be saved." It's worth it. It's not going to be easy. And we are going to struggle. But it's worth it in the end. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says here, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our battle is truly with Satan. It's not going to be easy. But this fight that we're fighting, we need help, oftentimes. It's a battle that sometimes we just need help. If we go on and read the next few verses here, which we will hear in just a moment, it talks about the full armor of God. This full armor of God gives you all the equipment that you need to stand against the devil. When we look out, we see individuals that might be struggling with things. Individuals that are in sin. That might be in open sin. Something that they might be proud of. Are we reaching out to these individuals? Are we looking to these individuals to help them? Individuals that there might be some that desperately want encouragement and want help. I bring this up because understand, this full armor of God When we look out, certain individuals are not going to have every piece of this armor. We need to encourage them to have every piece of the armor. It says there, "Therefore take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We should encourage each one. And those who might be struggling, we need to seek out opportunities to encourage them, to make sure that they are prepared. It is a soul that is in need. To have every piece of the armor, so that we are all prepared. Because if we are missing a piece of the armor, we're vulnerable. Satan sees it. Satan will attack. Are we encouraging those who might be struggling with things? Are we encouraging those who are not serving God to look at the future? To know that things are going to happen? And when God comes, there's going to be a judgment day, and that we're all going to stand before God and answer for the things that we are doing. But for those who are Christians, things that they might be struggling with, are we encouraging them to get out of that and to stand for God? God wants all of us to serve Him. God does not want one person straying off that path. There's a love that we have in doing so. It's a true love for a brother and sister in Christ. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, it says there, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." No matter what happens, someone will be there. A true friend or true brother is going to be there. Even in adversity, you are going to have help. In 1 John chapter 3, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. "We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brothers in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." Are we searching, or even if we're not searching, do we see individuals that are in need? Maybe not with spiritual things, maybe not with physical issues or physical blessings, but spiritually. Do we see individuals that are struggling? Maybe they're struggling with, and I know I'm guilty of this, and being together every service. I know I've been busy, but how about individuals that maybe they've lost a job and they're struggling? Are we actually, I know oftentimes, and I've done it during announcements, look out and look for individuals that maybe not be here, and let's reach out to them. But how oftentimes do we actually deliver in actually reaching out to them, or is it just out of tongue? Are we just saying it, or are we actually putting our feet to the ground and acting upon it? Our brothers and sisters need encouragement. We all need encouragement from time to time. In Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. "And He said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Now, is your only neighbor the one that lives right next door to you? Or are we all neighbors? we have a love for one another. We should have a love for one another so deep that no matter what happens, we will be by each other's sides. That is true encouragement. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever ever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That verse demonstrates true love, true Christian love. Romans chapter 15. Just a couple more verses. We'll wrap it up. In Romans chapter 15 in verse 4. We all can encourage one another and be there for one another. But something that is always there is the Word of God. And God shows us encouragement through the Scriptures. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We have the Scriptures that can encourage. But the Scriptures teach us that we are to encourage one another. We all need encouragement from time to time. And I've repeated myself on that several different times. But true Christian love is a love that, just as Christ said, would lay His life down for His brother. But the one that would be there for His brother no matter what is going on in his life. Are we making phone calls when we know someone is struggling and we haven't seen someone for a while? Are we sending out emails when we know someone might have lost a loved one? Say we need to pray for this individual? Are we truly reaching out for those who haven't really put God first in their life? Encouragement is so powerful because without encouragement, we may fall away. God shows us encouragement through the Scriptures. And God demonstrated true love by the giving of His Son. In John 3:16 He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God showed true love. Are we truly doing the work of an encourager? Or are we one that always needs and always desires encouragement? We should always put our feet to the ground and work for the Lord. If you're here this evening and you have obeyed the gospel, but there's things in your life that you are struggling with, we're here to tell you that we are all here and are willing and desire to help you. But if you're here this evening and you haven't obeyed the gospel, what ties have you had with the world that you cannot cut? What ties with the world? What in the world has put a wall between you and God that you need help tearing down? That you need encouragement to tear that wall down? God desires you to be in His fold, to be adopted just as so many of us here this evening are. Whatever your need is, whatever encouragement you may need, I invite you to please make that known and come forward as we stand and as we sing.